Well, it is 19:06, 7 p.m. Without objection, I am bringing this meeting to order. Let's go for the old business first. Let's see, approve the 2024 7:31 BOD minutes. Paul, did you get a chance to review those minutes?
Yes, I did.
Did you have any issue or want anything changed with them?
No, they're fine.
Okay, then I don't either, so I make a motion we approve those minutes. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Paul seconds. I will poll the board. Paul, how do you vote?
Yes.
I vote yes as well. The motion carries. The minutes are approved. And the second thing on our list, and it's been going on for about a year now, masonry wall update. I did contact the HOA attorney, and he said, let me pull it up here on my other computer. I asked him about that there's a licensing agreement with the city of Round Rock for the Bradford Park signs that are on each side of the wall on Bradford Park. And I asked him if we don't own the wall and the city doesn't own the wall, then why did we have to have a license agreement with the city? And he said, as to city ownership of the wall, I have found no record of the city ever accepting any sort of responsibility ownership for that wall. Rather, from what I recall, the city refuted any ownership interest and refused to take ownership in the future. As to placing signs on the wall itself, I would have to know what signs were installed and where they were placed. I could then review the plats to determine why the city would require a license. It may relate to the type of signage. Alternatively, the city could have been overreaching. So we're not completely clear on that. And then I also asked him if we could pay for that wall and if we needed like everyone's approval or if it was a board decision or whatever. Here's the response I got. As to masonry fence maintenance, Article 12 of the Declaration provides that the association must maintain the fence only if it is conveyed to it. So, if the association wants to start maintaining the fencing, it would need a conveyance instrument from all the owners that are affected by the masonry fence. Without those conveyances, Article 17 places fence maintenance on the owner of the lot. So, you could repair the fencing, but charge back each owner where the work is done based on linear feet in accordance with your self-help remedy in Article 12. So from what it looks to me like we could do it, but ultimately the homeowners are going to have to end up paying for it.
Unless they were to convey ownership.
If they convey ownership to us, then that kills dissolution because then we own the wall. And we can't dissolve
Or
if we
the
own
HOA
property.
can just do it.
Well, that's not what the attorney said here. He says you could do it, but you'd have to charge back to each owner. And to be fair, I'm not completely clear on that point. I asked him for clarification. I never got a response.
Yeah, no, that's just double speak. I mean, the HOA can choose to use funds to fix what, you know.
Well, HOA property, sure, but this isn't HOA property. This is
Yeah,
an
it's private property.
individual's property.
And
And
I'm afraid the convey what he's getting at is that you're exactly what you said is the HOA is prevented from making improvements to personal property. wait, what you're saying, they're prevented from doing it?
That's what I'm not clear on, and that's what
No,
I asked for
I can't see that
clarification.
there would be a prevention from the HOA doing something out of the kindness of their heart. And didn't the HOA put up part of a wall at one point?
I did, but at that point they thought they owned it. I
Yeah,
went,
but it still happened.
it's only because I've been researching dissolution that I found out that the owners own that wall, not the city and not the HOA.
Right, but I don't think it has anything to do with the
thing moving forward, like what we wanted to do. If the HOA can decide to repair that, and then going forward, it could be the owner's. Nothing says the HOA can't do it. I think he's just saying, well, legally you could not do it and tell every person that they have to do it on their own. I'm having some glitchy thing here. I can't really see the video. I'm going to make some setting adjustments here. Hold on.
Okay.
But yeah, I had to do an update before I could join Zoom. And so you know how that goes. It just reset everything. But I can hear y'all, so go ahead.
Paul, you still there? I don't see you on the screen.
That's interesting. I know my camera's working because I can see
Yeah,
me.
I can see Paul. And what happened was you froze up on me, Keith. When you were talking, you just froze. And I was like, wait, what's going on? So,
Okay, I'm sorry.
yeah, I
Well,
just it's kind of a strange situation because if the HOA does the repair, as you said, then and then at that point, if the owner doesn't pay for it, then does the HOA own the wall, and then we're responsible for it in perpetuity, or how does this work?
once we're gone, we're gone. And it's the people,
Well,
I
yeah, it's
mean,
if we're gone. I mean, you're
if
making
we're
an
gone, but
assumption that we're going to get enough votes to dissolve. That's been my goal. I've made no bones about that, but
even if we don't, we're going to have to make it clear to all the homeowners there going forward that it's their responsibility. But I just don't think that you can just out of the blue do that and say, oh, hey, all y'all are responsible for $10,000 or whatever.
yeah.
To me, that's just not right. Like you said, y'all put up a wall because you thought you owned it. Well, I'm pretty sure that a lot of the people think that the HOA is responsible for that wall over there. So that's where we're coming into the discrepancy there.
I'm just wondering how many people are going to be on the, I mean, if we have to take a vote, how many people are going to say, well, wait a minute, we're going to wipe out the entire HOA's coffers to benefit a handful of people.
I don't think we have to
Essentially.
wipe it all out, do
Well,
we?
last I saw on the budget, we had about $123,000, and the last bid we got for the wall was $81,500.
Yeah, it was several years ago too, right? 2 years
So
ago?
the
Well,
but
it was
that was
last
for
year.
complete was that for complete tear down and rebuild with a masonry wall?
In yeah, including the footer. Removing the foot.
Well, that's going to have to be done either way,
Right.
but again, then you, I still have the problem is we know the wall on the other side is the same material, and I haven't gone out and looked at it recently, but if the same thing happens, then what? If the HOA still exists, now we say, well, yeah, we replaced that replaced it for this group, but you guys are on your own.
Fair point. Oh, I see what you're saying. So there's a section of the wall that doesn't need repaired, that doesn't have to be touched. I thought it all had to come down.
Between Bradford Park Drive and Donnell Drive, the entire wall is leaning towards High Country Boulevard. And according to Boris, the guy that came out and looked at it, he says eventually the entire thing will fall.
Now, like I said, has anybody really looked at the side, the fence on the other side of Bradford Park?
Yeah, I
No,
haven't.
I haven't.
I haven't paid much attention to if it's even built the same way or what, but
It's the same material.
yeah.
So.
I just think it's a sticky situation all around because then it'll get to, I mean, really, if it's the homeowner's bill and they, well, if they can't do it, if they can't fix it, they don't have the money. So then it just sits there. We don't have any. I mean, it's there. I don't know. Seems to me, well, it faces a city road, so it falls under city ordinance at that point, as
Well,
far as the city ordinance, any fence along a public road, if it's torn down, the city can come by and tell you you have so long to fix it or whatever.
Like, yeah, they could. They could. Because that's one of their ordinances, is if you own a fence and it's like falling down or crumbling or whatever, they can tag it and put a door knocker on your door and give you 30 days to fix it. And if you don't, then they'll come fix it and bill you.
Yeah, I ran across it in the city. I was looking up something else and found it by accident, that because I didn't know that. But this is going to be something, I think, that's going to have to be brought up at an annual meeting or something. There's going to need to be more people involved, I think, from the neighborhood in this decision than on.
I'm wondering,
I think that's a pretty good idea,
if any of this would be covered by the homeowner's insurance of the owners of the property.
I don't know if it would or not. That wall is almost 30 years old. It's 27 years old.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think, Paul, it would be like fixing a 29-year-old roof. The insurance company comes in and says, okay, we're gonna pay you $50,000, but we're gonna deduct $48,000 because the roof is so old.
Depreciation.
Right.
Depreciate it.
Right. And so the net result is they won't pay out anything.
Because it's less than your deductible at that point.
Right.
Well, I mean, we're all, you know, throwing out hypotheticals here.
Yeah.
The problem is, you know, it would take one of the owners. And again, if everybody has a different insurance company, everybody would get a different answer, too. That's the other problem.
Right.
Well, all the insurance companies fall together on one thing. They don't pay unless they have to.
This is true.
That's a fact.
I've asked them before about my fence, and it was the same kind of thing. And they said exactly what Joe said. And so that falls on us. But
Joe, did you have a chance to talk to Boris about breaking down that bid that he gave us last year? What, how much was, you know, removal of the wall, removal of the footer, and then putting a new one up?
I think what I'm going to do is, because that bid was a year ago, I'll just have him do a new bid and have him break it down, like you said.
Okay.
Because, yeah, even if the HOA could, but you're right. I think we'd have to get a vote of people so that it's just a board vote. If they're willing to spend at least some, maybe the HOA pays for tearing it down and then the homeowners rebuild it. I think most of the people are going to think that the HOA has owned it until we started looking into this and finding out that we didn't. And then what do you do with the part that the HOA built the wall? And then the homeowner goes, well, I didn't build it. Why do I have to pay for it now when I didn't put it up?
I can't speak to past boards. I mean, like I said, as far as we knew, when we took over the board, that not only was the wall ours, but also that common area in front of it to the curb was ours. And it was only because I went digging, look about dissolution, that I found out neither one of them belonged to the HOA. The wall belongs to the homeowner. The right of way belongs to the city.
Yeah, I noticed that house on the corner of High Country and Don Ells for sale. I'm wondering if anybody's going to tell the new owner who owns the wall.
No, I thought about mentioning that to the, because me and my wife went into the home and looked at it the other day, because we were thinking about some rental property or something. And then I was like, I wonder if the real estate agent knows to tell the, you know, potential buyers that, hey, you're going to have to be responsible for this wall.
I mean, right.
It's a pretty big deal.
So, Joe, if you would, can you get the breakdown from Boris? Could
yes.
You also get two more bids and
yes.
break down from them as well? That'll give us a little bit more to look at. And we need somebody to look at like materials. Maybe Boris can guide you towards that or something, so that we can get an idea of what we can do there. So maybe lower the cost. And again, I'm not saying we're doing it. I'm saying that
We
we
need
don't
to
have
get
enough
all
information.
options.
We don't have enough information.
Is
And
my
I did,
suggestion.
I hang on a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
I did at the last board meeting, we went through a whole bunch of this stuff, and I put it in the minutes of the last board meeting, stuff that's in there, and it's all pretty good. We could review those at the next board meeting and kind of say, okay, here's where we're at, and see what happens from there. But I'll also see if I can get clarification from Mr. Brown, the HOA attorney, and find out, can we do this? And if we can do this, can we do it just by a vote of the board, or do we need the everyone to say yes? So those are the questions I need asked. I need answered.
All right.
Well, I think it's only right that you have to get, if you're going to be spending a lot of money, you need to get, it's only right to ask people how they
Yeah,
feel
I
about
can't
it.
imagine that we have that much leeway to
I
spend.
don't think so either. I think that there's a minimum requirement for major projects to that you have to have. I think it's if it's over $50,000, you have to have at least three bids. The board has to have at least three bids. I think that's the law. Now, as far as if we go and do like again, this thing's going to cost a bunch of money. Let's say I'm just grins and giggles here. I'm not saying we're doing this, but let's say that somehow we decide we're going to go and replace the whole wall. Then we got to figure out how to pay for it, and that becomes another thing. We're going to set the assessment rate for 2025 tonight, so that won't come into in the a new assessment wouldn't come into play until 2026. So, the only other way I know of, two other ways to fund something that huge would be a special assessment, which we would have to have a vote in order to have a special assessment, or we'd have to do donations. And donations generally don't get you very far.
Nope.
And
And what's
even if you raise the dues, the amount you would raise isn't going to raise that much money.
well. Here's the thing. The dues right now are $170 a year,
Right.
right? I estimated at $81,500, roughly $300 per person or per property in Bradford Park to pay for that. So if we add it tacked on another 300 to 170 and we made the dues $470 a year, yeah, then we could do
Yeah.
it.
You wouldn't get anybody to pay, but you could, yeah.
Yeah, sure. We'd have a lot of foreclosures, but sure. And a lot of pissed off people. Then you could do it. But I mean, we've only got so much money. And like I said, we're going to approve the budget for 2025 tonight as well. So that's kind of where we're at.
There's a lot of money though that's in our account that no one's going to see anyway. That money's going to sit there. We hear people all the time, someone would ask, oh, why can't we have a pool? Well, there's no place for a pool. Why can't we do this and this and this? And so for me, I'm like, man, if we have money sitting in there, we're not going to see that money anyway. That money's going to continue to sit there until we either dissolve and then it goes to and it's divided by every single person, or you know what I mean? So I would assume that it just goes to help whatever. But one of the suggestions I was going to say earlier is that when you come up with all the different scenarios, we can, put out the notice for the annual meeting. That's when we have the most people show up and just say, this has to be decided on, or we have to come up with something, and we need everyone's, opinion or whatever, especially those that live there on that side,
I
especially
agree.
them. And they need to make sure they have notice. That way, if a decision comes down that day, we can say, we asked for y'all to come and get your opinion. If you didn't come, but But I think that might be the best way to get the most involvement. Or, you know, I don't know. It's just a suggestion.
It's a good suggestion. I like it.
I like that.
Yeah, this is one of those things that's not easy. It's not been easy. We've been talking about this for almost a year, and it's one of those deals where, you know, we're not going to please everybody regardless of what we do. So, and I, like I said, right now we still don't have enough information to make a decision. And so we need a little bit more on the legalities. We need more bids. We need breakdowns of those bids and, you know, what materials we can use to help bring down the cost. If for nothing else, we could forward that information to the homeowners if they end up having to do it, or if we go in partnership with them, or if we end up doing it ourselves. So again, it's, you know, half a dozen, one or the other. As for the money that's in the bank right now, we unfortunately have a bunch of folks that haven't paid their dues. And I've been preaching about this in the newsletter for a year and a half. And if you go over $1,000 in dues and you know, like collection fees, we send you to the attorney. Now we have to pay the attorney up front, and then we get it from the homeowner later. In order for that to happen, we have to have money in the account, and there's a bunch of them right now. So that's kind of why there's money in the bank. It's kind of for that purpose. Now, I don't really like having to do that, neither does Paul, but at the same time, everyone's got to pay the dues until we dissolve, if we dissolve.
I wanted to talk just real quick about that topic too, because, you know, in the last newsletter, the wall was one subject and the, you know, delinquent dues was another subject. Maybe can we maybe try to appeal people to combine those two topics? And, you know, let's ignore the top hitters. I looked at it today and said, well, you know, if we looked at everybody who owes less than $1,000 and got them to pay up, that would put another $12,000 in the coffers. Mm-hmm. If you go down and say everybody who owes less than $500, that's still another $6,500. You know, maybe we try appealing to, you know, those people that owe lesser amounts in relation to the wall and say, look, let's get together and help your neighbors.
Paul, I love the idea. Would you do me a favor and write that article?
Sure.
Okay, great.
You know, it's the same as getting out of debt. You never try to pay off the biggest bill first. You pay off the small ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
The newsletter deadline is November 1st.
Hey, okay.
So does anyone else have anything else they want to talk about the masonry wall? Does anyone have a comment, an opinion, anything?
Yeah, how about there's two other people listening. Do they have a, what do they think? Okay, they're not answering, but I think there's two other people, right?
Yeah, they're showing up. I don't hear anything from them, though. Well, without objection, did someone say something?
This is Rebecca. I'm just thinking about the uniformity of our little subdivision here. You know, how's it going to look if each person does something different?
That's another issue, uniformity. Rebecca is absolutely right.
But there's in the deed restrictions on what materials you can use.
And they'd have to get approval from you as well, yeah, there, Mr.
It's
ACC
that big of
Chairman.
A change. It's not really a replacement. If it's an exact replacement, that's one thing. But if you're using a different material, it has to be approved. So the architectural committee would have to get together and figure out all that whole wall. That's why I was saying we need to get together with all those homeowners too, because all of it would have to be the same thing. I mean, if it's wooden fence on one, it would need to be wood all the way down. So that would have to be, we would have to make sure that the architectural committee was aligned on that. And I can guarantee you they are. The rest of them aren't in here, but we all pretty much feel the same way.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay, I'm not hearing anything. Without objection, I'll move on. NNO preparations. This, unfortunately, is my baby this year. I need tables and I need some volunteers. I need someone, at least a couple of someones, it'd be nice, to run the popcorn and the cotton candy machine. I need someone to do sign-in. Maybe if I talk real sweetly, Paul will do the sign-in.
Again.
My sweet wife is otherwise occupied, I think, this year. So I don't know if she'll be there or not. I just need some help. And I need tables for sure, because I've only, right now, I've got zero tables.
Yeah, what's the date of it again?
It's next Tuesday, October 1st. And it starts at 5.
I mean, I have a couple of tables. They're small.
Small is fine. Better than none.
I've got the 5-footer I brought last year.
Perfect. 3 tables. Let's see. That'll pretty much do us, I think. Let's see. Joe, did you get the invoice that I sent you from Smoky Mo's?
Yes, I did. I will submit it tomorrow.
Okay. Will they get paid before I pick it up? Because I have to pick up the food on Tuesday.
Yes, I will call them and tell them that they will be paid ahead of time. And I think I had that same conversation last year, and they knew the good one and the HOA are good for it.
Okay, cool. That works. So I've got to take care of the sign-in sheet. I got to get the water, because we're going to have water at this thing this year. And I got to get the raffle prizes, which there are only 3. There's going to be $100, $50, and $25. So I'll get those, because we're paring this down from last year. We didn't have very many people show up. I think there was like 35 or 37. And so we've only planned for 35 boxed turkey sandwich dinners, lunches, whatever you want to call them. And then I've already got the bouncy house that's already been paid for. I got the invoice on bphoa.info, so I know it's been paid for. And so that's all ready to roll. I've already contacted the National Night Out people so I could use their logo. So I've already got that taken care of. And I contacted the city of Round Rock, so hopefully they show up. So that's pretty much it.
I bet Molly would help. I have a group that I do every other Tuesday, and October 1st is that Tuesday. That's why I was just asking. So I'm not going to be able to make it.
Okay. Can I get your table or tables?
Oh, of course. Yeah, you can have whatever I have.
I promise they'll be clean when I bring them back. So, okay. And if you could just drop them off over here, that'd be awesome.
Either that or just walk across the street and hand them to me.
Yeah, Rebecca said she could help in the chat.
Say again?
Rebecca said she can help if needed. She look at the chat. Open up your chat. She spoke.
Oh, yeah. I'm not looking at the chat, so...
I can help you if need be. I'm here on Andrus Way. Either way, I'm just a few houses down.
Okay, Rebecca, I appreciate the help.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, I had to check my calendar because I have a conference that day, but I should be home in time.
Okay. So I'll be picking up the sandwiches around 4:45, and then at 5 o'clock I'll be over at the park and we'll be setting up. Moonwalk Round Rock will set up the bouncy house, the generator, and the popcorn and cotton candy machines. And I asked to make sure they had enough cords to operate everything. So I think we're square there too. I don't th I know, like I said, I'll pick up the miscellaneous stuff this week and I'll submit my receipts to Joe.
Okay.
So that's where we're at, and I appreciate any help. Especially, like I said, anyone that can spare a few minutes to make cotton candy or pop some popcorn or whatever, I'd appreciate it because I'll do my share too. I mean, hey, I'm running this thing, right? Also, if you take any pictures, please let me get a hold of those pictures so I can put them on the on our photo gallery. And I think that's all I've got for NNO. Moving on to new business, approve rate increase for Goodwin and Company. Goodwin and Company has asked for a 5% increase, and I don't think that's out of line considering inflation. So, Paul, what's your thoughts?
Oh, Joe, what's the kickback?
I was trying to think of a clever reply and I couldn't come up with one.
No, I mean, Joe's done a lot of work for us, so I'm not objecting.
Okay, well, I'm not going to object either. So I make a motion we approve the rate increase for Goodwin and Company. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Can I just
All
ask,
seconds. I
what is that
will.
from what to what?
Hang on, I'll let you know.
Yeah, I forgot to look at the. I looked at the budget, but it's been a while.
Yeah, I've got it on the screen here.
Management fees, there we go. Line 25, right?
Yeah, I think it goes from like 971 to 1021.
Oh, I see. Not that big of a deal.
So then I make a motion that we approve the rate increase. Do I hear a second?
My second.
Second's been heard. I'll poll the board. Paul, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
I vote yes as well. The motion carries. The rate increase is approved for Goodwin and Company. And speaking of the budget, here it is. This is the budget for this coming year. There's some minor changes that'll be need to made for the newsletter because of postal increases. And also because of changes to, I think the cost of just doing the newsletter themselves. I haven't gotten a clear understanding of what they're charging for, but it's not out of this world. It's not, earth shaking. I think we pay 278. Let me look up real quick. I'll tell you what we last paid from. Neighborhood News. Let's see. We paid 310.49, so it wasn't too awful bad. So we'll just need to make a couple changes there, that kind of stuff. I think if I recall, and Joe, I know you're on the road right now, that we actually have a $7,000 net at the end of the year, provided everyone pays and expenses don't go more expensive. I think Joe might have made it home and is temporarily unavailable.
We lost
He's
him.
not
He's
online
not on here
anymore.
anymore.
Ah, well, according to this, it looks like we'll have $7,500 overture and transfer $6,000 to the reserve account. So other than those minor changes, Paul, do you see anything that's a showstopper?
Nothing stood out, no.
Yeah, me either. It all looks kind of the same. I make a motion that we approve the budget. Do I hear a second?
I second.
Second's been heard. I'll poll the board. Paul, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
I vote yes as well. The motion carries. 2025 budget is approved, and we will submit it to the electorate at the annual meeting. And hand in hand with that, the assessment rate for 2025, if we're not having any, if we're going to go too far, if we're having $7,500 overture, I don't think we need to raise the dues. Do you?
But I mean, that's a sticky question. I mean, to do what we do now, no.
Right.
If we're going to be doing things above and beyond that, possibly, but you know, we haven't made that decision yet.
Right. And I don't think we're going to until probably after the annual meeting.
Yeah, I mean, for now, right. I would say no. I mean, the fact that even if we did, we're still coming up with extra. I mean, we're putting 6,000 in the reserves, which is going towards that account that we've got.
Yeah.
What do we got? 80, 100 something thousand in there? I don't know.
Let's see, according to bphoa.info, on the last financial statement, which was 8/31, we have $124,238.84.
Yeah, see?
I mean, but you got to remember, you start paying $500 an hour to an attorney to collect things, that amount goes down real fast.
Yeah, not that fast. But still, to me, we're just throwing good money after bad then at that point, and everybody's just paying.
Well, I mean,
that's the whole reason why we got into this dissolution thing in the first place.
I get it. I get it.
Paying money to do this. But it's a vicious circle that we got to come up with something for. But I understand. Well,
here's the thing. You know, if you don't go after those who don't pay, then those who do pay say, well, then why should I pay? And they'll stop paying. No, and then we don't have any money.
I agree.
And if you go after them, then there's people that say, well, why are we not dissolving? Well, there's a whole bunch of legalities we got to go through first before we can get to the point where we can legally dissolve.
Yeah, so, no, I believe everyone should pay. I'm just saying, I believe what's technically you're supposed to or needed in the reserves, because I had this who was the nice lady from CEM that wound up leaving, you know, Sabrina.
Mm-hmm.
I think it technically 60,000 was the number that had to be in the reserves. It seems like we're double that.
Yeah, it's a good place to be in, but you know, if it was only 60,000 in there and we're talking about that wall, we definitely wouldn't have an option.
I'm just saying, we've got quite a bit in there that is really from everyone in the community. So if you start talking special assessments, I'd be like, we've already got it. My assessment's been going in this pot for
right. But again, you go back to the wall, and if we pay for it, we're going to take it down below that 60,000 that you know you say we should.
Well, we could just say we can't do that, which means we couldn't do it. You're right. Yeah. No, you're right. We couldn't go down below that, but which was that minimum, which would mean we would only have a certain amount to throw at it anyway.
Yeah.
So when we tell people that, say, look, we don't even have enough to do it all. Which now when you put it that way, it will take some community help, but I think it's going to have to be a partnership. But anyway, I let's not get back on that soapbox. Mm-hmm. Well, let's continue on.
No, I don't, you know, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I personally have no desire to raise the rate.
I think you're correct for 2025. I think we keep it the same. So I'll make the motion. I motion that we keep the assessment rate at 170 for 2025. Do I hear a second?
I second.
I've heard a second's been heard. Paul, how do you vote?
I vote yes.
I vote yes as well. We set the assessment rate for $170, stays the same as this year. I'll make sure it's in the newsletter. And we're up to homeowner concerns. Anyone got anything they want to, you know, tell us about, or, you know, if perchance you have a compliment, great. If you got a complaint, we want to hear that too. So anyone got anything?
I do. This is Kendra.
Hello, Kendra.
I've been trying to be quiet, but I live on Donald. Well, I don't. I own the house on Donald. And half of Donald looks great. The other half looks like crap. And I'm concerned about a pod that's been sitting in the driveway for over 3 months.
Yeah, I know. We've been sending him letters.
What is the rules about that? Yeah, I mean, that's just making... So, and my other concern is like you were saying, those that haven't paid and those who have, I've paid my dues ever since I bought that house. Mm-hmm. And I'm not liking the fact that we're really not going after those people who have not. Because,
oh, we
as
are.
You said, why should I pay if those people aren't going to pay?
Well, I went through in the newsletter, I think it was last year, and basically went through a scenario of what happens to someone who doesn't pay their dues. And you start out in January with owing, what is it, $170? And by September, you owe over $1,000. And that's just the cost of doing business. That's, you know, you have to, there's things that the state of Texas requires that an HOA do, like an intent to lien and then a lien. And then a demand letter and all these things that you have to do by law. And each of those things costs a different amount. And those get tacked on to that bill. And Paul and I have set a limit of $1,000 that anyone can owe before we send them over to the attorney. Now, once they go to the attorney, it's out of our hands. They have to deal with him. And, you know, at that point, if someone just is adamant they don't want to pay their dues, they can lose their house. And we don't want to see that happen. But at the same time, we got to make sure that we're fair to everybody. So that's what we've done, and that's what's in place right now.
Okay. My other concern is the cars on the street. How many cars can be per household? Because around that corner is quite a few cars, makes it very dangerous to come around that corner.
This was answered, I think, last board meeting, and I think it's in the board meeting minutes. Let me check real quick. Basically, there's nothing in our deed restrictions that's enforceable that we can implement to get people not to park on the street. The street belongs to the city of Round Rock, and Round Rock, they won't do anything for a car unless it's like leaking oil or something. So there's no real limit per household. Another homeowner asked the same question over here on Vincent Court, because it's one of those side streets that has 19 homes and very little parking. And there's one house that has like 8 cars. And so there's like nowhere to park on Vincent Court. Donnell, you're right. That curve is dangerous. Because sweet wife and I, when we leave the subdivision, we always go down Donnell. And it's like, it's dangerous. Because if you're not watching and the other person isn't watching, something bad will happen. And so you've got to kind of creep around that curve there. But there's no real limit to the number of cars that could be on the street. As long as they're legally parked, there's nothing we can do about it.
That's a shame. I mean, because again, that is definitely a safety issue. I know for a fact the one house especially has big trucks, which I'm not against big trucks. We have one, but they're like 4 big trucks and out of like 6 or 8 cars that park there. And that does block the viewing of coming around that corner.
Yeah, we actually had one of the neighbors that lives over there was concerned because he has small children. He was like, he's like, you know, when someone's coming around and they can't see or going too fast. And but there's been no, I mean, this has been brought up before, and I hate it because sometimes I feel like there's not even room to get my car through there sometimes, you know. You're like, but yeah,
Well,
we
yeah,
I
I
don't.
mean,
Maybe if it's brought up to the city as a safety issue, then maybe they can do something. But from us contacting them before, they've been like, there's nothing we can do.
well, I'm
And
gonna
I'm
I think I
repeating.
brought it up on the Facebook page before, is I almost hit a kid coming through there because the cars are parked and blocking the sidewalk. And the kid on a bicycle swerved into the street because the sidewalk was blocked and didn't look to see that I was coming. And, you know, luckily I was paying attention.
That is written, though, I think, in our, you're not supposed to block the sidewalks. I know
That's
that.
a law. I
I
mean,
think that's, yeah,
that
I
is
think that
enforceable
is
by
city
the
ordinance.
police.
By the city ordinance, you're not supposed to block the
So
sidewalks.
here's what I put in the minutes of the last board meeting. Clarification on deed restriction pertaining to number of vehicles permitted at a residence. This was discussed between Joe Gaines and Paul Goldfein while Keith Lindsay's internet connection crashed multiple times. Yeah, it was a fun board meeting. The clarification is deed restrictions are silent on the number of cars that could be owned at a particular residence. Alan Stock stated that the car that he informed the board about last meeting was gone, and he was very pleased. Joe Gaines also stated that another vehicle was parked on the street in a state of partial disassembly, was red tagged by the city and was forced to park in their driveway. And it goes on from there. But that's was in our minutes just from the last meeting. There is no city ordinance about the number of vehicles that can be at a certain residence. There's nothing in our deed restrictions about that that's enforceable. Now, there is Article 16, and we could do that, but it would require us to have a database of every car in the in Bradford Park, and people are just not going to do that.
I got something to add to this though, because what when I was downtown Austin last week or the week before, in the neighborhood right behind Congress, and this is a lot downtown in the neighborhoods, there's always the city will put up these signs that you're not supposed to park here between the hours of blah 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 and blah blah blah, and I'm like, well, how did they put those up? I wonder if that's because of a safety issue. Or people, you know, not allowed to block someone's house between a certain hours. But
I think it's a zoning issue.
well, it seems like if we the city, if they're notified, hey, this is a problem and a safety issue, maybe there's some signage they could put up to say between, and it's usually at night, I think, when they both sides get blocked along that road. Yeah,
And
you know, I don't know. I'm just trying to think out of the box that. To get them involved, it's not so much as who owns this car, who owns that. It's a matter of, hey, we can't have both of these sides on this street blocked here at this corner because it's a safety issue.
that's a good
yeah, I mean,
point.
like my,
Go ahead.
I was gonna say my old residence, we were only allowed to like park on one side of the street. And I mean, I know that doesn't become fair to the, you know, both homeowners, but it did leave availability to go up and down the street without having any issues. And like if we can get a sign that says maybe you can only like in the especially like you said at night, it's really dangerous. So I mean if we could do it at night, that'd be awesome.
I think if we made this a safety issue to the city, I bet you they'd come up with some solution. And then it wouldn't be the HOA telling anybody anything. It's the city going, hey, there's been too many. I mean,
I know there are places that do alternate sides, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, whatever, you park on one side, the rest of the days you park on the other side. So that way, you hate to say, but both sides are inconvenienced.
yeah
equally share the wealth, huh?
yes
yeah I do know that last year, and I think the year before, a member of city council showed up at NNO. So are you planning on coming to NNO, Kendra?
Unfortunately, I will not be there. I was going to volunteer to help, if it was after like later October, but I'm leaving on a cruise next week and I won't be back for 2 weeks. So
well,
I'm
enjoy
sorry.
The cruise.
I hope to. I've never been to Italy or Greece, so I'm hoping, but I would have volunteered if it wasn't within that time frame.
Well, we don't set that date. It's set, I think, nationally by the national organization. Okay. So, and I think Round Rock participates in that.
Well, maybe next year I can help volunteer.
So if I'm free, and that's a good question, if I'm free, and I see the person from city council, I'll ask them about that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know, it wouldn't be a bad idea either just to shoot an email to your contact that you talked to about, you know, that you've been talking to about the landscape and stuff, just to ask who the person would be to contact. It might be a councilman, but there might be a department of the city that handles things like that that might be better just to go straight.
I haven't talked to Margie in over a year. I haven't talked to Margie in over a year.
If I can get an email, I have no problems sending an email and asking.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, I can't be there for the NNO, but I don't have a problem sending an email.
Yeah, wasn't it like Michelle Lee who showed up last year?
I forget her name, but she was a member of city council. And I talked with her. She raised our taxes and I wasn't happy. They did it again this year, by the way.
Lovely.
Did they? I thought there's a bond vote coming up or something. Or did it already?
That's happen? For schools, and it's $1 billion vote. $1 billion bond.
But yeah, it's broken into like four pieces, and you can approve or disapprove of different pieces of it.
When's the vote?
Say again. Would you say, Jamie? I didn't hear you.
Oh, I said, when is the vote for that?
November 5th.
Okay, so an election. Okay.
By the way, the in the last newsletter, two things. First, all the dates for voting, including registration, early voting, are in the on the back page of the newsletter. Second thing, and this is my mea culpa, I forgot to put in the second garage sale in the last newsletter that's in October. It is on bphoa.info, and I'll have Joe send out an email blast. It said it's on bphoa.info. It'll show up front and center on bphoa.info. Like a few days prior to that, but it's not in the newsletter, and for that I'm really sorry.
When is that?
The neighborhood garage sale?
Yeah, no, not that I ever participated. I just wanted to.
Let's see. Saturday, October 19th at 7 a.m. till noon.
Yeah, that's the day of one of my car meetings. Yeah, that's what you I typically don't at. Go to those.
Oh, it usually is really early in the early in the morning for me, 7 a.m. till noon. I put out the signs usually the night before.
Yeah, I usually head out around 8 a.m. and don't get home until after lunch.
Oh, cool.
Well, I might have missed it when Kendra asked earlier, but what was the latest update on that pod? Because I know you had sent or called about it.
We've sent several letters. I need to get an exact number from Joe, and then
which one you talk? Because there were two of them.
Yeah, I think she was asking about the one on Donnell.
Yeah, I know she's asking the one about the one on Donnell, but I think we'd been sending letters to a different one, hadn't we?
There was one on Andres Way. It's gone.
But the only reason I'm asking is my house is right next door to that pod.
Yeah, I think it's 2934 that has the pod, right?
Yep. Yeah. I'm 2936. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been
so I know where you're at. I'll see how many letters. We have to send a certain number of letters before we can take action. And I've got a picture of that on a website I use to submit stuff to the city. Once we hit like three or four of those, I then call the company and say, hey, you need to get rid of your pod. I'm the president of the HOA. Come and get it. Do something. And usually within a week or two, it's gone.
Well, I know she's not in the best health, and I know her husband is been put in a home. But at the same time, that's why I haven't said anything for 3 months. But I think it's now definitely an eyesore, and from what I'm understanding, it's to put other stuff from her house into that because she doesn't have any more room in her house. And I don't know if
Well,
that's true or not, but that's what I've heard.
is from a community standpoint, is there something we can do to help her?
I haven't talked to her. This is from another neighbor, but I know that she's had problems with her legs, and I think they told me that she's got I've never heard of this, but like cancer or arthritis in her legs.
Oh.
So I'd have to find out from my other neighbor more information.
Okay.
And but I know that Jimmy, which was her husband, has been put in a home because he has dementia,
Oh,
and
man.
she was staying with him for quite a while at the place, but then came back, and then that's kind of when the pod came because she was moving stuff out to make room inside, but it's still there, and that's why I haven't brought it up, like I said, for a while, but it's now becoming, I think, an issue. So
Well, it
sounds
sounds
like
like
she
shoot
could
me,
get a storage unit.
I go down Donnell periodically, but I don't like take pictures as I go. So the ones that the yards that look bad or something, let me know who those are. We could submit those to the city and they'll be fixed in a week. Literally a week. They move a whole lot
Yeah,
quicker
there's.
than we can.
Well, I mean, that's another question, and I don't mean to be complaining a lot, but I've
That's
been
okay.
holding it back, and it's all kind of coming out now. Like, what is the. Because my thought process is when you do your yard, your planters are done, your yard's done. But I go down towards that, and even though my neighbor across the street, I sometimes look the other direction. But when I go down the street and I'm seeing like planters overgrown with grass, but the yard's mowed, but the planters are over, and weeds are growing up the side of the house. So what is the rule on lawn maintenance in the HOA?
Basically, the grass has to be cut.
So the planters don't have to be worked on.
Well, if it's a real eyesore, you can, let us know. We'll take a picture. And again, we can tell them, hey, you need to fix this. And if they don't, then we can go in and have it done. Once we have a vote, Paul and I have a vote. But I mean, it's not in the deed restrictions about planters. That's not there. It just says
Okay.
you general lawn maintenance, which you need to mow the lawn.
Yeah, that's why I went again. I should have read through my deed restrictions and stuff, but I didn't. But they do. Some of them mow the lawn. It's just the accents around the house still have weeds on them. So
Take a picture and
I'll
let's
take a
see
few.
it.
Okay, I'll
Because I
do
mean,
that.
you get me a picture. You can send it to change bphoa@gmail.com and Jamie and I'll get it. I'll forward it to Paul and we could tell Joe, send him a letter for this. And if we have to send them like three or four before we could do anything. But if they choose not to do anything, then we can actually enter onto the property and get it done at that time.
Okay.
I think it would need to be
I will.
egregious, though.
Yeah.
Something could be pretty
And
subjective.
I'm not saying like little weeds. I'm talking like over a foot. So I figure over a
Okay.
foot kind of can constitute some action.
Jamie, is that egregious enough for you?
I was just making sure it wasn't a little bitty thing, or you know, it's not perfectly edged around the tree or something. But
I'm not that technical, but yeah,
that's my yard.
Well, we've got another person on Donnell Drive has a bus.
Yeah, I'm on Donnell too,
there.
Tigger. We're all here.
We have another person on Donnell Drive that has a bus parked behind their gate, but if you're not looking for it, you'll miss it.
Yeah, I hardly ever see it. I think the neighbor is the one that sees it. But,
I only noticed it because of the violation. I went
yeah,
by.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
I never would have seen it. But one thing I was going to ask, though, on that subject, because remember up here on Donnell when all the that one house had all the wildflowers? See, to me, that seemed egregious.
Well, I was reading on Round Rock's webpage. You're going to love this. If someone decides to, like, zero scape or just, you know, let their front yard be wildflowers or whatever, you could report them to the city. And then the city will require of them a site plan. If they don't have it, then they've got to get rid of it.
I thought that was...
Okay.
We weren't allowed that in our bylaws, that you couldn't xeriscape.
The state of Texas passed a law that you can xeriscape. However...
Well, xeriscape is good, but that was just wild. Xeriscaping,
yeah, the city of Round Rock says that if you've got, like, wildflowers or xeriscaping, whatever, but it's just haphazardly done and you don't have a site plan, they will make you change it.
Good to know.
I was reading that on their website last week.
Then.
So, anyone else got anything else?
Yeah, I have a question for you.
Yep.
Homeowners that are renting out their homes, does the HOA require anything on their the people that are renting the homes?
They like accept all the
criminal
same rules
history
we do.
Or anything like that?
Any what now? I'm sorry, I missed.
Like criminal history or anything like that?
No, that's not in our deed restrictions.
That's handled all by the homeowner.
Yeah.
Okay, because I've been noticing, like, we had a swarm of people, police officers over here at a home that just got rented out just a few months ago. And it worries me as a homeowner that people that are renting their homes are just renting to whoever they can get money from.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing in people that are not, I don't know how you would say, that are appropriate for our, you know, neighborhood.
I agree with you. Perchance you're not talking about 2600 Andres Way.
Oh, yes. I got involved because I was coming home from HEB and ended up getting involved involuntarily, wanting to be. I ended up somehow following the car that was leaving the situation there. And the neighbors were pointing me to try to, like, I guess, get their license plate or whatever. So I did. But as I was trying to get down Andres Way, the car waited for me here on Adeline and Andres. And so when I turned into my home, they just kind of kept going, which mm-hmm. really terrified me, because I don't know what they wanted to do or what was their reason for waiting for me there.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if there's any way that we can require the homeowners that are renting these homes to run criminal history and all that.
We would have to change our deed restrictions to do that.
Well, I can tell you most of them should. As a real estate agent, I don't know of any rental properties out there that don't do a criminal background check. It's harder to get into rental homes than it is to get into apartments. They're a lot more stringent. However, that's not to say that someone couldn't be renting it out to someone they know or a family member or something like that. But if they're using a property management company, then a criminal background check is ran every time. And certain offenses, it's automatic denial. If it's violence related, whether it's a misdemeanor or felony, most felonies, they're not allowed. But so unless the owner is just Yeah, I don't care, but usually they do because they don't want someone coming in there and destroying their property, which happens
Right.
a lot. So I'd be surprised if they just let anybody in there. But then there's you never know who someone might be look good on paper and then turn out to, they're just really
Rebecca,
annoying.
let me tell you a little story real quick. About 2600, they had something going on down there. And somebody called the cops, and the person at 2600 said, "Well, no, something happened that ran off in a blue van." And so the cops went across the street to my neighbor's house, and with guns drawn, and drew their weapons on her and her grandson. And she's got cancer, and they told her get on the ground, and she told them, "Who the hell do you think you are? You're in my yard." And it kind of went from there. And she told me the whole story. And it's like, you're not the only one that I'm hearing stories about 2600. The guy who rents there has a semi tractor trailer cab that he parks on the side of the street there. And
Right.
I told her the same thing I'm going to tell you. There's not much I can do from an HOA standpoint, other than report them to the city for various things. But if you feel uncomfortable, if someone's following you, if you feel you're being stalked, call cops, because the more times we get the cops involved, and that the same property comes up over and over and over and over, the more we can get them to patrol more often through here and keep an eye on that property. There's also the lady across the way on Bradford Park Drive told the guy that owns that cab, that semi tractor trailer cab, that hey, you can't park that there. And he told her, get away from me before I hurt you. So
Yeah, I just that's my thing. It's like they're letting people rent who are not I just don't feel are appropriate for our neighborhood. And
I
that's what
agree.
worries me a lot because I don't want to get involved in things or I mean it just ha so happened that I was coming from HEB, that day and I turned down Andrus Way and got involved somehow without even really wanting to and I just, it makes me worry for our safety here.
Let me ask you, are you armed?
Yes, we are armed,
Okay,
but
good.
it doesn't, I mean, that still doesn't give me, the satisfaction of knowing that my neighborhood is safe.
I agree. And with the things that are going on across the nation, we're going to probably see more of this kind of thing go on. My thing is anytime you see something you don't like, you don't feel comfortable, someone's doing something, it's hinky, call cops. They
Oh, well,
told
I
us.
did. I mean, my husband, I took down the license plate of the person who was leaving and who waited for me here on Adeline Drive. And we went and gave that to the police that night, so that they knew who they were looking for. And the license plate got a hit when we gave it to them. I mean, I'm not afraid of reporting this. I just don't like that my neighborhood's not safe. That's my biggest thing. And so, I didn't know whether that was something that the HOA could do as a requirement for the homeowner that they actually do criminal history background checks or something.
We'd have to change our deed restrictions. There's no provision in our deed restrictions now to do that. I don't even think renters are even talked about in our deed restrictions.
No, they're not. We were built before the whole Airbnb and VRBO stuff was kind of around. So
Now,
not a lot of
I have heard of HOAs changing their deed restriction so that only a certain amount of a percentage of homes within that HOA can be rentals, because what's happened in some places is that places like BlackRock have bought up a bunch of homes and then they get the majority of the votes, they change out the board to what they want, and they enact the rules that they want.
I know a lot of condos that have that. I haven't heard of too many subdivisions, but some new subdivisions that are built will have in there that you can't have short-term rentals. It's kind of hard to say you can't rent out your house on like for yearly and stuff, because everyone should be able to have that right. And if they want to upgrade their home and their home's paid off and they want some passive income, you should be able to rent it out. But you can have deed restrictions, or you can do a no short-term rentals, because then you have different people coming in and out every other day. And that can be an issue, but it's kind of hard to say unless you, yeah. I mean, I have a relative that's dealing with that condo issue of what you just said about a certain percentage. And they had that where only a certain percentage, but he's like, I bought this condo, and when I have it paid off and when I go into a house, I'm going to want to keep it and rent it out. And now they're saying I can't, because there's already that limit met, which isn't fair to him as well, but I see both sides of the story. But
yeah, I was going to say, you may not be able to limit the number of rentals, but you could possibly put something in the bylaws that say that the board members must be a owner resident of the development.
I like the resident part.
Yeah.
Just say,
yeah, but it has to be owner resident, because a renter is a resident.
Right, right. Owner resident. I like that. I like that.
Well, actually, I'm just,
you know,
I would
you know
just
what?
Think that that might be a suggestion, if we are not, you know, dissolved as an HOA, that we look into something like that, because I really just did not feel very safe the other night. And I don't want to have that feeling in my neighborhood, and especially knowing that we came into a neighborhood four or five years ago thinking that it's a safe neighborhood, you know. So I just put that out as a suggestion to the HOA, if we are not dissolved by then, to look into something like that.
Either way, if we do dissolve or we don't dissolve, if we do dissolve, we're going to have to rewrite our deed restrictions anyway. If we don't dissolve, there's certain deed restrictions we need to get rid of, and other ones I'd like to add. Again, it's not completely up to me. That'll be a vote of everybody. But either way, though, those are good things. That's good input for either case. I think that's something we should take under advisement. As far as the neighborhood not being safe, I think overall it is. I think that there's just one or two bad actors, and you know, we have 278 homes in Bradford Park. That's a lot of homes. One or two out of that number is not really all that bad. And also, just know, we are acutely aware of who these people are, and we keep an eye on them. So, again, if there's something we're missing, please let me know.
Yeah, will do. Thank you so much for hearing me out.
Absolutely. I mean,
as
that's why we're here. Would you say, Jamie?
I think all the neighbors around me have those Ring cameras or some sort of camera. I think most people, I would say at least half. Yeah, there you go. Paul's got it right there. I know he got my son on that camera when him and his friend went and rang his doorbell.
His son and his friend tried Ding Dong Ditch, and you know, hey, I got a camera. So I sent Jamie the video and said, hey.
Yeah, he goes, is this your son? I'm like, oh, man.
Could have been worse.
Harmless fun there, though. But yeah, most people have cameras now. So, I mean, we should be able to get people on.
And I got three. I'm covered.
I've got one. I've got a doorbell camera that I put in myself.
I did that, but I have also one on the corner by the garage and one covering the back door.
Well, you nice. Know, I mentioned one time, I think it was a year or so ago, back when Molly was still on the board, because we were talking about something like this. And I said, we should put signs up at the entry to the neighborhood that say, this neighborhood is under video surveillance. And remember, I think someone was going to have to ask the attorney if we could do that. And I say, well, technically, since people have cameras and are video surveilling outside, that's technically true. But if people thought that there was cameras on the roads and stuff, that might make them a little less. Oh, it was during the time when there was a lot of cars getting broken into. I don't know if you remember that a year or two ago. They were going around, but it was happening everywhere.
Right.
Had the city let us put up a sign saying this neighborhood's under video surveillance at all times, something like that, I think that would be a pretty good deterrent for someone to just keep on driving.
I'll ask the attorney about that.
Okay.
Well, does anyone else have anything else?
I'm good, thank you.
You're quite welcome. Going once, going twice. I guess we're sold. Is Joe in the call?
Yes, I am. I charged up my battery and now I'm good. The board meeting immediately prior to yours went 2 hours, so it drained my battery, but now I'm okay.
Okay. Well, we need to talk to Joe briefly in executive session. So if you're not a board member, you need to exit the call.
Bye.
Thank you, guys. Have a nice night.
Yep. Thank you for coming.